And also, next Sunday night, we're starting our spring Bible study series. You know, we did one last year, and then we did a fall series. Well, it'll be starting next Sunday night for 4 weeks, starting at 5:30 in the evening. And we're going to be studying basic Christian doctrines. So if you wanted to know about baptism or characteristics about God, those are kind of good things to know, you can come here, and we're going to be diving into that. So, got it? Let's open up with prayer. Thanks, brother. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for today. And I thank you, Lord, for the band. I thank you for Lord Audie and his leadership here. And I just thank you for just our leaders. Help us to grow. Today, right now, in this moment, we just pray you help us to put all distractions aside. I pray, God, that we would open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, both in the word and in the music. And Lord, we just pray that heaven would truly come down and fill our soul. We just pray that you be with each one, Lord, that is on the prayer list. Lord, you know their needs. And pray you be with each one that's on the praise list. Lord, we give you the thanks. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone new here today, Lord, they leave here knowing they've been in your presence. And this is a safe place to come. And Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, Lord, we pray there'd be some word spoken, whether in the preaching, Lord, or in the songs, that would touch their heart and help them to see you in a better light and come to know you if they don't. We thank you, Lord, for the graces that you give us, Lord, that they abound more than we can measure. And thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be forgiven sinners. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Y'all, we are beautiful messes. We're blessed and made in the image of our Creator, but we're not perfect. We can still be beautiful messes and be utilized by God. He used so many people along the way to share His Word. So with our holes in our hearts and our scars that we even show people and don't, and even though we're rough and jagged around the edges, He uses all of us. I hope this song touches each of you. Are you spinning in a lie that keeps on telling you that you're not good enough? When you're looking in the mirror, do you see someone impossible to love? Full of fragile, broken pieces, we're all rough around the edges. We ain't perfect, no, we ain't even close. We've got holes in our hearts, we've got scars we don't show. But all that baggage we keep on dragging around, ain't it time we start laying it down? Lay it down at the foot of the cross, one who could carry it all, even at our worst, to him we ain't lost causes, just beautiful messes. We're all Davids, we're all Marys, we've been liars, thieves, everything in between. Don't forget God used the misfits just like us, the most amazing thing. Bring your faults, your flaws, your secrets, watch him use those broken pieces. Cause we ain't perfect, no, we ain't even close. We've got holes in our hearts, we've got scars we don't show. But all that baggage we keep on dragging around, ain't it time we start laying it down? Lay it down at the foot of the cross, give it to the one who can carry it all. Even at our worst, to him we ain't lost causes, just beautiful messes. No matter where you are right now, let thy grace come pouring down. It won't run. No, it won't run out. We ain't perfect, no, we ain't even close. We've got holes in our hearts, we've got scars we don't show. All that baggage we've and at our worst to Him. We ain't lost causes. Oh, lay it down at the foot of the cross. Give it to the one who can carry it all. Even at our worst to Him, we ain't lost causes. Just beautiful messes. Beautiful messes, yeah. God bless y'all.
Good job, Tracy. First service, she was talking about beautiful, and then I said, well, thank you, Tracy. And she said, you're a perfect example for that beautiful mess. So thank you, Tracy. I take that as a compliment. I want to tell y'all, me part of raising up. I expected when I was a kid, when I got in trouble, that I'd get a whooping. Just telling you. And I don't know how I got a butt left, but because I got a bunch. But I'm going to tell you, it was part of my life. It was part of knowing that if I get in trouble and I do something wrong, my mama or my daddy, they's going to whoop me. So I'm going to sing about that this morning. They were both made of leather, both black as they were worn. And I was grown up to respect them from the day that I was born. I came here from England, it's been handed down for years. The other one was ordered from a catalog of Sears. What my mama read to me till I was well into my teens. I thought the other one was born was to hold up daddy's jeans. Hell, I told a lie and I learned it had another purpose too. Out behind the shed, my daddy said, this'll hurt me more than you. One had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons that we feared and both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other left to hell. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a bear. I remember when I was 12, I stole a dime store comic book. Mama read where the scripture said to take back what I took. And I refused, my daddy grabbed my arm and said, come on. I needed more, he knew, than just Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Sometimes they made me mad, sometimes they made me cry. I wish I'd been born without him, like some other children had. But now I'm grown, the kids of my own, and I know just how they felt. You know, it seems to me what this world still needs is a Bible and a bell. One had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other hurt like hell. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a bear. A Bible and a bear. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, these little kids you see walking around, their heads are made for kissing, okay? It's their bottoms that are made for whooping. So don't hit your kids, okay? Even though some of them need it, but don't, okay? Thank you, Lord. We normally sing songs that are kind of uplifting, Paul. And we don't have none of them this morning. So I'm just trying to, I want you to stay awake. But I do want to tell you something this morning. A friend of mine here today, and I want to introduce you to him in case you don't know him, okay? His name is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all sing with us this morning, would you? What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins are grief to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who with all our sorrows shares? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our rescue. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends fight for safety? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms you'll take and she'll see. Now we'll find a safe place. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was a kid, my grandpa used to live down here in East Texas, and me and him used to fish in Fort Creek long before there was a Lake Fork. And I know I think a sucker must be old, but it ain't been that long ago, but I remember that my grandpa, he had a pond back behind his house. He had this little dirt road that we'd always go down that dirt road, and I got fond memories of that dirt road. I remember my daddy one time, we was going down there, and Dad was driving his pickup, and my grandpa was in the front, and I was sitting on the tailgate, and that's back when it was legal to ride a bag of a truck. By the way, I've fallen out of many times. It won't kill you. But anyway, my dad, he decided he'd play a little trick on me, so he jumped on that truck real fast, threw me right out on my face on that dirt road. And him and Grandpa, they thought that was really funny. And it was. I look back now and I thought, well, I'm going to do that to my grandkids. You know, that was funny. I'm going to do that. But I also remember sitting in the back of that truck, reaching out and grabbing grass as I go by. You young people, listen to this. You don't do this. I reaching out and grabbing grass, and I grabbed a piece of Johnson grass, and that sucker cut me, boy, like a knife. So look here, young people, don't do that. Don't stick your hands out when you're going down the road, and don't trust your grandpa because he's liable to throw you off. Okay? You know, we're going to get to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven one of these days, and I don't know what it's going to be like. I read my Bible what it said, but I don't think we can imagine at all what it's really going to be like. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing a song for you this morning. I know where I'm going when I'm done here on this earth. God's building me a mansion where none of us will hurt. I'll see old St. Peter swing wide those pearly gates. I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but God, I hope and pray that there's just one dirt road. Take me back to a honey hole, 100-year-old white oak tree. Rain shade on me, picking blackberries off the vine. Bob White's whistling out through the pine. I can't wait to walk on the streets of gold. Give me just one dirt road. Hang up mama's clothesline between those two pine trees. Take some round bales and a hay field and a bridge across the creek. Let it wind past that white church where I gave my soul to you. And get in down at Granny's house. Amen, I'm through. I hope you're just one dirt road. Take me back to a honey hole, 100-year-old white oak tree. Laying shade on me, picking blackberries off the vine. My white whistling out through the pine. I can't wait to walk on streets of gold. Give me just one dirt road. Hope there's just one dirt road to take me back to a honey hole, 100-year-old white oak tree. Laying shade on me, picking blackberries off the pine. My white whistling out through the pine. I can't wait to walk on streets of gold to give me just one dirt road. Just one old dirt
road. Good morning, everybody. It's a pretty day, isn't it? You know, Audie always picks at me, so I'm going to have to throw it back at him. You know, falling out of the back of the pickup, it's proof it may not kill you, but it sure explains a lot. That rascal, him and Miss Debbie, they sent me a happy birthday video, and she goes to sing happy birthday, and he gets to place happy birthday, you're 40. He goes, 40? I thought he was like 50-something. If you got a Bible, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We normally read it at the beginning, and we're going to read it at the end this morning. I want to say thank you to everybody who wished me a happy birthday. I sure appreciate it more than you know.
And that, when Joey and Rory come out with that song, Bible in the Belt, I related to that. And that's a good song. My mother, sweet as she can be, man, she believed in getting you back in line. And we're going to talk about legacy in a bit. And her legacy, she was a woman of her word. If she told you she was going to whip you, she didn't forget. And she had a memory like an elephant. And I remember one time, the only time she told me she was going to give me a spanking and she didn't was, you know how everybody in the song had the belts had their name on it? Back in the 80s, everybody, you know, my dad put his name on the belt. Well, I guess I was probably third or fourth grade or something like that, and I'd learned the big word inscription that week in school. And anyway, she told me to go get your daddy's belt, and all of a sudden the phone rang. So it was more like this. You go in there, you get your daddy's belt. Hey, how are y'all doing? I thought, what is up with this? So anyway, I went in there, and after her phone conversation, she goes, where are you at, James Jeffrey? And I knew if she was throwing James Jeffrey, it was not good for me. And I said, well, I was stalling back there. I didn't say stalling. I said, I was back there trying to decide which inscription of Buddy I wanted on my butt. And anyway, she got tickled, and she didn't whip me. But that's the only time. She always told me I was a mischievous so-and-so. I thought it was more adventure. So this morning, we're going to start a new tradition. Last year, we started a tradition that every fifth Sunday of the year, we have Question Sunday, which is coming up the end of this month. So if you have your questions, do put them back in the box. I'll take all the easy ones. I'm going to get Steve Wilhite to get all the hard ones. And I can't wait to see what he has to say. But if you have any questions, do seriously put those in the box, because that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. But I want to start a new kind of tradition for us this year. Not really set on a calendar, but probably three or four times a year, we're going to do a church history Sunday. And we're going to start that today, actually, on St. Patrick's Day. Because how many of us think about, when we think of Christianity, we think about the life and times of Jesus and those involved and maybe the early church, but after that, we don't really think much, right? But think, there's been 2,000 years of Christian history that has taken place for you and I to be able to sit here this morning and know Jesus. Amen? And so we want to look at some of these people throughout. And sometimes you hear me quote people and some of you come up and go, who is that? So I'm going to be explaining on these lessons, on these church history Sundays, who some of them are. But today I want to tackle the question of who is St. Patrick? Who is St. Patrick? And there are many of our holidays on the church calendar that revolve around the saints of old, such as St. Valentine, in which we obviously celebrate Valentine's Day, or better yet, St. Nicholas, whose legacy has become a larger part of our Christmas tradition and celebration. And today, since it is St. Patrick's Day, for obvious reasons, I want to spend some time looking into the life of St. Patrick. Has anybody ever really researched St. Patrick here? Few people, right? But most of us know, we think, what's the biggest thing, or I always thought, about St. Patrick's Day, besides it's the day after my birthday, is you what, wear what? Because somebody is going to paint your plug out of you. And so that's why I wore green. Now, many have no idea who he is or even care to know. But today, we're going to look into the life of St. Patrick. Now, if you look at some places, a buddy of mine lives in Chicago, and for St. Patrick's Day, besides drinking a lot of beer, they turned the river downtown Chicago green. Be a lot to clean up, wouldn't it? So let's spend just a second or two, and then into the who is St. Patrick. So here is some of the history that we might want to know about St. Patrick. He was born as Maywin Sukkot. If anybody's looking for a baby name, I wouldn't suggest it. I would stay away from that. They will hate you. Born as Maywin Sukkot around the year of 385 AD in Britain. He's the patron saint that was captured by Irish pirates at the age of 16 and brought to Ireland as a slave. Interesting enough that the man that we equate with Ireland was not born there, but was actually a slave there in his early years. Did you know that? Pretty interesting, huh? Working as a shepherd, Patrick was held captive for 6 years and grew closer to spirituality and prayer during this period of isolation. Now, think about that. Do you grow closer to God in your time of isolation and desperation? But we often pray for those times not to come, do we not? But oftentimes it is there in those times our spiritual life is the most fruitful. During our times of isolation and separation. After a voice in his dream told him it was time to leave Ireland, Patrick successfully fled his master and sailed back to Britain to continue studying Christianity. Shortly after his return home, an angel in Patrick's dream told him to go back to Ireland as a missionary. And following this, he decided to travel to Gaul to study religious instruction under Germanus, the bishop of Auxerre. Now, I'm from Red River County. We don't normally use these kind of words over there, so forgive me if I mispronounce. But think about that. He got a word that says, hey, you need to become a missionary to the land you were enslaved to. How many of us would go, yay, God? Anybody here? I doubt it, right? We're like, most of us, if you're like me, you're like, whoa, God, right? Pump a brake. You're at a 10, need you about a 2. But yet he was called to go back to his land, the land that enslaved him. Later ordained a bishop and eventually returning to Ireland, Patrick began his mission to spread the Christian message. During this time, Patrick converted thousands of people to Christianity and built churches, schools, and monasteries across the country in the land that he once was a slave. In our time of skepticism and atheism, and people often ask the question, is anything good come out of religion, specifically Christianity? People don't know their history because we live in a time where people want to erase history. But do you know that schools and education and hospitals were all credited from coming from the Christian faith? And you could all read it back into one basic commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Legend suggests that Patrick used the three-leaf shamrock on his mission to explain the Holy Trinity, teaching the followers that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit exist as individual elements of the combined entity. So springtime's a good time to teach on the Trinity, if you'd like, when the clover comes up. He's believed to have died on March 17th in the year 461. Patrick's spiritual path led him to become a legendary figure, and as he left behind an established church, and listen to this, an island of Christians, today his work is commemorated annually on March 17th. Pretty interesting guy, that St. Paddy, ain't he? Right? Pretty interesting. More than just turning rivers green and more than wearing green, this guy had a real legacy for Jesus. A real legacy for Jesus. So what can we learn and apply today to our life from the life of St. Patrick? Because it's important for us to learn how God used and lived through the lives of other people, but we may take those lessons and apply them to our life. Well, the first thing I would mention is that he saw his traumas become his triumphs. He saw his traumas become his triumphs. Now, what do I mean by that? There are many people in a crowd this size that have gone through very traumatic experiences, and they have yet to find freedom through those traumas. They're still living as a slave to those traumas, those guilts, those shames, that burden, that fear. Amen? And I'm speaking to many of you here today. But St. Patrick saw his traumas become his triumph. How many of us run from our traumatic experiences in life and never look back to face them, are able to move beyond them? Now, one of the elements of being a counselor, particularly a pastoral counselor, is that you're trying to bring people back to their traumatic experiences and helping them and assisting them through the power of God's Spirit to evaluate what they went through, no longer through the eyes of a child or whatever age they were when they went through, but now through the eyes of Jesus. Does that make sense? Because recently, I've read through Genesis, and if you're familiar with the life of Joseph, who was a son of Jacob, he went through a traumatic experience where his brothers sold him into slavery. But through divine providence, God brought him, and he went basically from prisoner to prime minister in Egypt, and he became the rescuer of the land during that time. And at the very end of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 50, when Jacob passed away and the brother said, oh man, he's going to, you know, now that dad's out of the way, he's really going to give us a comeuppance. And he said this, am I in the place of God? He goes, what you did it for evil, but God did it for good, for the salvation of the many. We often thank God for the praise, what we call the praiseworthy things, but when's the last time you thanked the Lord for the pain in your life? Because in my time of working with people through counseling and through ministry, I found that there's two major reasons, and I've said this before a few Sundays ago, there's two major reasons in which people actually change. There's a lot of talk about change, and the church is full of people talking about change. But there's two things that actually make people change, and it's a deep passion for something or a deep pain in something. A deep passion for something or a deep passion or deep pain in something. Does that make sense? Those are the two biggest wake-up calls. C.S. Lewis, he says that pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world, because sometimes it's only in that we actually listen to him. Think about how traumatic it would be to be captured by Irish pirates at the age of 16, not knowing what the future would hold and if you would ever see your family or your homeland again. Think about being 16, the age of some of these over here, and being captured by Irish pirates and shipped off. It was during this time of isolation that the man we know as St. Patrick found solace and comfort in God. This traumatic experience became his eternal triumph. We probably would have never heard about St. Patrick if it had not been for that time of isolation as a slave in Ireland. So we need to spend time thanking God for the trials of life as well as the triumphs, because our trials become our triumphs. Amen? This is why the brother of Jesus said in James 1:2, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because it's God shaping us and molding us for new creation. Because get this, this world ain't the end. We want the reward here and now. And Jesus says, no, it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever. We always have to think of the big picture in mind. And I think it was Tim Keller who said, you'll never find out that God is all you need until you realize, until you get to that place, that God is all you have. You'll never realize that God is all you need until you get to that place that God is all you have. Listen to Hebrews 13. Starting in verse 5, be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you live with that sense of freedom in your life going, what can man do to me? They may threaten me, but it's kind of like that Vince Gill song, threaten me with heaven, right? I mean, the worst you can do is take me out, and that ain't half bad. I get to wake up seeing the Holy Trinity. The second thing, not only did St. Patrick see his traumas become his triumphs, he saw his cautions become his calling. His cautions become his calling. Imagine after going through the traumatic experience of slavery that the Lord calls you to prepare yourself to go back to be his witness to the land of your slave master. That's where we'd be going, I don't know about it. Lord, you lost me. I was listening up to then. Right? Some of you have lived that story. I know I have lived that story. As I'm reading through Exodus this month, Moses lived that story. Because Moses killed an Egyptian, and what he did, he fled into the desert to Midian. And what did God do? He showed up in a burning bush, and he says, Moses, I got a job for you. Yeah, God, where you want me to go? I want you to go back where you came from. Shut the front door. What? And then Moses did what we all do. He began to make excuses. But God, you know I can't do it because I stutter. And God says, who created the mouth to start with? But to help you, to assure you, call your brother Aaron up here. And when I speak to you, you tell him and he'll tell the people. So we remedy that. I've learned in my own experiences with God that whatever excuse I throw at him, he says, hey, I got you. He's still batting 1,000. Amen? I got this. But how many of us are like this? I mean, I know exactly. I ran from my calling. I sensed the call of ministry. And then as I began to step up and try to serve in church, I met a bunch of religious Christians. And I went, Lord, I appreciate it. I've never lost my faith in you, but I'm good. I don't really want to be in ministry, because to be in ministry, I got to be around a bunch of Christians, and I ain't so crazy about that. Some of you are saying, I never heard a pastor say that before. Because if you've ever been around some church folk, they're annoying. Yeah, that's probably some of you in here today. Because we've lost our sense of being authentic and being real in God's people. We know how to put on the mask and put on the dog, but we really need to put on Jesus, amen? And be who we are, where we are. And my prayer is for myself, my prayer is for my family, my prayer is for this church, is this is always a safe place for lost people to come and go, you know what, I don't know if I'm where they're at, but man, I felt at home. Or someone who is a new believer going, man, I want to be where they're at, I want to grow, I feel at home. And for someone who has been like me, who has ran from God, who's ran from God, and God has wooed me back into my calling, that it's a safe place to come and find grace. Because what we need more in God's people are gracious Christians. Amen? I know it was July 17th, 2007. I was about to play the show of my life. My producer, she goes, baby, let's go get us a record deal. My manager at the time, she gave me words of encouragement, and they left me a few minutes, and I began to hear the band and the introductions and that kind of stuff. I was upstairs in the green room, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I pray that this happens. If this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, show me the way. Within the week, I'd walked away from my dreams of wanting to be a singer and an artist, still under contract as a songwriter. And I'll tell you more about that when I tell my story in the weeks ahead. But walking away from that, trying to navigate the mess of that I had created. Anybody been there? And trying to navigate through all that junk and to find that God is willing to stoop as low as hell itself to rescue and to save. Amen? And he is willing to take on the heaping stains of guilt, shame, and sin on the cross of Calvary for an old boy like me. And he cleaned me up and he dusted me off, and he didn't remind me of my failures every day like some of us remind people that we love around them. He didn't remind me of my failures every day. He says, just pick up where you left off. We got a lot of work to do. And for the next 10 years after that, I got to be a part of people being honest about their hurt in church. Because, you know, the number one reason why people, I believe, don't go to church is because they've met most Christians. That's the God's honest truth. Gandhi even put it this way. I like their Christ. I'm not so sure about their Christian. What we need are Christians who actually follow Jesus in life and deed. Who are not trying to be on point during the 10:30, 11:30 hour on Sunday, but they're on point for Christ 24/7. We don't need more whiners for Jesus. We need warriors for Jesus. That's what he's called us into. And when I look at St. Patrick, I see his cautions become his calling. That first response to hear the call to go back to the land that you've been enslaved, that would have been, I'm out, I'm good. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what I told the Lord sinfully when the Lord says, I've got a job for you to do. I've got a call on your life. I want you to work with my people. I'm good, God. I've been there, done that once. You know the old statement, you know, first time, dang you. The second time, dang me. That was what I prayed to the Lord. You know that saying? The Lord didn't listen to none of that. God often calls us to go where we don't want to go so he can show us what we could never see, playing it safe. How many of you today are playing it safe in your Christian faith? Oh, Jeff, I'd love to share more, but, you know, I'm afraid I would get fired. Oh, Jeff, I would love to show more, but I'm afraid people would look at me funny. We look at you funny already. Get out there and make it happen. Color outside the lines. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you don't know Christianity or you're questioning it, it is not a bunch of religious fuddy-duds. There are some people who make it into that, but that's not the biblical Christianity. It is about a wild adventure. A wild adventure. If you want to play it safe and be tame, Christianity is not for you. But if you want to be wild at heart, and wild in spirit, and wild in mind, then follow Jesus and see if you can keep up. Because Jesus was a wild one. Jesus was a wild one. God placed a calling in the life of St. Patrick to go back to his captors with the love of Christ. And St. Patrick did this novel idea that some of us need to do. He simply obeyed the Lord. He stopped giving him excuses, but he simply obeyed the Lord. When Christ calls us into his service, the first stop on the way to that calling is to face the fears that we carry inside ourselves. How many of us would say, I would love to do more, but, I would love to do more, but. Anybody been there? Anybody there right now? I would love to do more, but. And as God calls you into service, whatever that might look like, and one's not more important than the other, a lot of times people go, oh, you know, you're the pastor. I just happen to get a lot more FaceTime. That's it. That's it. But this is my calling. You got to be faithful to your calling. But what fears are holding you back? And how many of us will spend a lifetime living in fear and never sense that wildness at heart? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Christianity is not boring. Christianity is not just a bunch of religious rituals. It is following a wild lion, Jesus himself. It's fun, people. It is fun. But how many of us want to play it safe? Listen to what Joshua 1:9 says. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Think about this. You can't go somewhere that, number one, God's not already there and had already always been. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. The last thing that I think we can take away this morning from the life of St. Patrick, not only seeing his traumas become his triumphs, not only seeing his cautions become his calling, but we see his love become his legacy. Let me ask you this morning, if you were to die today, what legacy are you going to leave behind? What are you going to leave behind? And people get all nostalgic and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, around my birthdays, I'm always a little bit reflective. And the philosopher part of me really gets reflective. And man, this is just halftime, baby. Right? Man, life is a beast. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of roadblocks. But I believe in Jesus, we can do it all. Because with God, all things are possible. And I'm tired of, I mean, just to be honest, I'm just personal confession. I'm tired of being around a bunch of Christians who just talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Again, I want to be around warriors. Don't you want to be around warriors for Christ? Don't you want to leave a legacy that says, man, that person got it? There's no way that you can experience or live life any greater than when you follow the one who created life. Amen? Instead of seeing love become your legacy, how many of us, if we were in St. Patrick's shoes, would hold hatred and resentment in our hearts for what the Irish had done to him? And how many of us have not gone back and revisited those points of pain in our life so that we could be set free? How many of us need to find forgiveness? How many of us need to be set free from some old resentment that we hold so desperately on? How many marriages are being squashed out and the oxygen being completely removed from the room because of resentment and the need for forgiveness? That's why there's so much divorce and decay in homes today. Because we talk about it or we listen to it on Sunday, but we don't live it during the week. And as my little buddy Shaw, I'm going to take a time out, that in Wyoming, my friends up there and the sister church we have up there, he's about 4-year-old, and he sent me a quote that he's heard me quote. I'm just one beggar telling other beggars where the bread's at. And that's right on, buddy, and I'll be up there in June to see you, good Lord willing. Just one beggar telling other beggars where the bread's at. But we've got to live dangerously. And I never heard about Christianity talking about live dangerously in the church I grew up. Everybody was playing it safe and being nicey nice. No. And this is the world we get from that kind of preaching. Right? What you see on the news. No. We need to take truth back and love back into our workplaces, back into our schools, and back into our government. And be set free. To love. When love takes hold of you, then your deepest and darkest enemy can become your object of affection. You think that would apply to St. Patrick? Going back to the land that enslaved him? Because your love is motivated not because of what they did, but of what God has done. How many of us struggle loving someone because of the things they've done to us? But we're called to love them not for what they did to us, but for what God has done for us. Amen? To love is no easy task, but to love is to set the captives free, beginning with ourselves. To love in Christ is to set our hearts free. How many of this morning, in the sound of my voice, how many hearts need to be set free? To truly be set free. You know, I've discovered that I've really, underneath, and the things that we all have, that shadow self, right? Everybody does. That's we try to hide and we try to square off where people can't see. But there's some things that just fire me up in life and I get a temper about it. I really do. And, man, there's just things that people say or do or things in life. The Red River County part of me, I just want to knock the fire out of them, right? Now, I promise you, I know you come to church and heard a lot of pastors say that because they ain't been that honest, but they've had those feelings. You just want to knock the fire out of them. It doesn't take any strength at all to knock the fire out of somebody. Takes none. It takes strength to hold back. Right? It takes strength to hold back. It takes only the power of God, though. We might try to hold back in our strength, but it takes the power of God to actually take that person that you would like to knock the fire out of when you're living in yourself and love them the way Jesus loves them. Does that make sense? I ain't got the strength to do that, Jack. That only comes from God. And that is what we as believers need to be praying for. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, there's some times where I've read that proverb in Proverbs 30. It says, the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. And I'm like, dear Lord, let me go all Bible study on them right now. That's easy. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't that spiritual either. It takes no strength to retaliate. It takes strength to hold back, but it only takes the power of God to turn that enemy into an object of love. And there is no greater example than when the author of life is hanging on a cross, carrying the sins of the world, being ridiculed, shamed, and mocked, and the words that come out of his mouth are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was loving the ones that were piercing his hands and his feet. That's love. And guess what? That's the legacy he left behind, and that's why we try to follow that. That's why the life that Jesus lived, the legacy that Jesus left, those 3 short years in public life have turned the world upside down. And that's why we're still talking about one life 2,000 years from that moment. But you know what? Let me ask this question. If we don't think about the legacy for Jesus that we're going to leave, imagine it 2,000 years from now, 4,019. We don't think that far ahead, do we? But will they be talking and preaching about Jesus? I believe they will because I don't think nothing can undermine the gospel and the Holy Spirit is the lead. But don't you want there to be examples in the 21st century that 4,000 or 2,000 years from now, in the year 4,019, some preacher preaching, going, let me tell you about a saint, a patron of God, in the year 2019 who really was a light in the Americas. Yeah, just like St. Patrick. We all right now are building and preparing to leave a legacy. What legacy are you leaving? Will your legacy be around self-centeredness, hatred of others, unforgiveness in your hearts for a wrong someone has done? Or will it be like St. Patrick, a legacy of love, making the world better by shedding the light of love in its darkest areas? We often want God to call us to those places that's not so trying and, and so hard. But if you want to make the world turn from dark to light, the best way to do that is to go to the darkest places and shine the light. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. John 13 says, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So the thing that I take away from St. Patrick today is that I can't imagine his life being what his life was without thinking of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And I think that was the legacy of St. Patrick, don't you? He took to heart. He didn't just listen to it in some Sunday message. He didn't think it was a good read. He actually went out and lived it and helped change the world. Help change the world. So in conclusion, I think it comes down to an old song. My mother used to play the piano in the church that I grew up in. And there's a song I want us to read the lyrics to. You may have heard it. It's called Trust and Obey. It says this, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Many of us are not happy in Jesus this morning because we're not what? Trusting and obeying. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss. Anybody lose anybody? Not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now say this with me. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go, even our Ireland's. Amen? Never fear, only trust and obey. Sing it with me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May we learn from the life of St. Patrick and his discipleship and obedience to God's word. May we make a difference in our, quote, Ireland's, that wherever God's calling us to be light in darkness. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for being here, and I thank You so much for this church and the faces that I'm seeing out here this morning. I pray that You be with them this week. You know what they're going through. I just pray that this will be a safe place for everybody to come and commune with You, Lord, and just let their hearts, their souls, their minds be fed on Your truth and experience Your love in the community of Your body. We thank You, Lord, for just the grace that You've given us and the facilities that we have to come and together. But may we never forget that the body of Christ is not a building, it's not a location, it's the people that are following You. Help us not to be whiners, but help us to be warriors, Lord. And may we take the message of truth in the attitude of love out into a lost and dark world this week. In Christ's name we ask You. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Oh, yeah, we got a... a blanket to give away.
Hey, if you want to camp on that blanket, we're going to give you this.
Hey, right quick.